Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk, a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am one of your three hosts for tonight. We are missing Doosnack's work emergencies happen, but we know that he is absolutely kicking ass out there, so we believe in Doosnack. However, we are going to hold down the fort today. My name is Zoinks. I am, of course, joined by the ever-amazing Lazadin and Ender. What is up, you two? How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I am live as well. Just a heads up, obviously, but no, I'm doing wonderful.
That's true. Good. Yeah, I'll be sure to watch my tone. Lazadin, how are you? How's your week been?
I've been doing pretty good. I've been working on a lot of exciting side projects, some of which we'll be seeing sooner rather than later, some of which will still take a while to come out.
Cool.
I think I'm at like five at this point. Perhaps I should consider finishing projects before starting new ones.
That sounds like the most counter to competitive gaming that I've ever heard of. So no, please stick with the track of starting more and more projects, because then I will not be alone in doing so. That is good. Ender, how has your week been, man?
Pretty good. I've been streaming a lot still. So I had to take a break this week at some point, because I was like, oh, this is just too much. I've been streaming like 14 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing Pokemon Unite, Scarlet, Violet, still hot. Like, I'm enjoying myself there. But yeah. I don't know, I've just been playing like a lot of solo queue in Unite. And I mean, it's miserable, but also like amazing. Like every other solo queue in every other game.
Yeah, that is true. That's always been my rhetoric online when people complain about solo queue. I'm like, well, have you played solo queue in anything? Any other team-based game? It is going to be very, very similar experience. I've actually been enjoying my experience in solo queue quite a bit. I'm not, you know, at that really high master's level that I know you are, or probably most of the people listening to this show are at. But I'm enjoying myself on the grind back up. I'm having a lot of fun. Buzzwole's a really good time right now, and that's been sort of my low-key main. I don't really have main Pokemon. I play quite a bit. But one thing before we actually get into the show, shout out Ender for being my number three most watched on my Twitch recap. So
let's go.
Of course, number one is Unite Mics. You know where to go. YouTube.com/UniteMics. That's not paid. I work for free. But the the second one was also shout outs to the Sneaky Seal. That is going to be my second most watched Twitch stream. So lots of love for the Unite community.
I think my top three were Sanji, and then Katie, and then the actual UCS channel.
Nice. I love that.
Because I did watch every single region this year, by the way.
Right. Does that count VODs, too? When you go back? I don't know if Twitch does that on the recap.
I watched them live.
Right. No, I know you did. I know you were watching every region live. You never slept. You lived and breathed? Broth?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how to say that word.
I don't think it counts VODs. Okay. I'd assume it doesn't based on the watch time I had for a couple of channels, but...
Right. Okay. Got it. Yes. Lots of rewind and replay for you, but I guess it's not counted. Unfortunate. Well, we are going to be talking about a lot of exciting stuff in Pokemon Unite right now in the competitive landscape. You may have saw the stream title. Asia gets a Champions League. What does that mean? What does that mean for the whole of Pokemon Unite? We'll get to all of that, of course, but I want to start this off with our first segment of the evening. We're going to be doing a bit of a tournament recap. So we're going to hit some North America. We are going to hit one tournament in EU, talk a little bit about it, what we've seen in these regions so far. But first one, of course, we got to talk about the hometown event of Unite Mike's Mayhem. We had our week one kickoff in full. Those teams were, we had Zeus, Kakuna Matata, GT, and Shungite play. In the end, Zeus won it all, GT with the runner-up spot. Pretty fun event. We're still using the scuffed draft image that I have. I'm so sorry, everyone who turned into that event. One day, draft mode will be ready for us to play with in-game. But
a work of art, man.
It is... It's something. It is something. Yep, that is true. But we've been having a lot of fun with it. Did either of you two get to catch any of that tournament?
No, I didn't actually get to watch much of it.
All good. Laz?
I watched the full thing live.
Nice, nice. Okay, I like to hear it. I don't have a favorite co-host, but I'm just saying.
I gotta work on that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Someone else is gonna be my number three most watched stream next year. Get to that when we get to that, I suppose. But we do have to talk about it. So Zeese played. Also, just first off, I do need to say live. Sorry for teams that did experience pretty large ping. We knew that was going to be a problem if we invited teams from outside of North America. However, we just wanted to have more representation of teams. It was, the trade-off that we did take, so apologies. But I think the games were still pretty exceptional, a lot of fun to watch. The finals especially was a really, really cool game, in my opinion. So speaking of which, I actually want to talk about the drafts for these teams. We are doing draft mode, so let's bring it up on screen here. This was game number one between Zeese and GT, and this is how the draft worked out. Let me share my screen so the two of you can look and see what I'm talking about.
What's your first pick?
That is a great question. I believe it was... also, can you not see what's on my screen right now?
It's just black.
It's just black.
Hmm. Okay. I think that's like a Chrome thing. I'll have to
figure
that
out. You have
to... Oh. He's good now.
Now we see it, yeah.
All right, great. I don't know.
No, it's gone.
Huh. I think when you tab out, we lose it.
Oh, it's... If you have something full screened in front of it, it...
got it. Okay, well, yeah. There we go. It's there. Yeah, thank you, chat, for letting me know too. Yes, this is what we were looking at. I believe that Zeese had first pick, if I am remembering correctly. I can look that up right now. But the bans, Dodrio and Blissey being banned away. Baby Mazo went absolutely crazy with Dodrio in their game number one. That would lead me to believe that's why GT was moving into ban it. But that being said, Zeese got their hands on Sableye, which I actually believe that means that Zeese had first pick. Yes, that's what we were saying before.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So what do we think about these drafts? Any big surprises out the gate from this game number one? Anything like that?
I mean, I haven't been following like the last week or two, I guess, of the meta developing. Mm-hmm. I think... In my personal opinion, I don't know if Sableye is the de facto first pick after Dodrio Blissey. Like, I'm a big believer in Scyther. So, I mean, yeah. When I see GT, you know, 1-2, you know, Scyther plus one, for me, I'm like, that seems dangerous. But
GT, I don't know, maybe Sableye did run Scizor in that game number one, too. They opted into Scizor with Decidueye taking jungle.
Yeah, Scyther Serena is one of the matchups that is... not as favorable.
Right.
The Serena is extremely dangerous and it can be kind of hard to one shot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sableye, so GT spams a lot of Decidueye comp, like yeah. They just love playing it. So Sableye is a very good pick into that comp, and that's a very good takeaway from Espo.
Mm-hmm.
It also pinches the support pool a little bit, which is already somewhat pinched by the Blissey ban. Yeah. And also the fact that the support slash defender pool, the fact that Snorlax was not allowed due to a bug for this tourney.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, okay, okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Yes, yeah, I should have mentioned that off the top. Both Urshifu and Snorlax were banned away from this event. Mm-hmm. Perma, but yeah. Yeah, I just also for audio listeners, Zeese banned Blissey, but then went on to select Sableye, Mamoswine, Azumarill, Glaceon, and Serena, and GT banned away Dodrio and selected Mr. Mime, Scizor in this case, Blastoise, Decidueye, and Hoopa. So it makes a lot of sense for this team too. It seems like a couple of comfort picks. You were mentioning GT loves this Decidueye build, this Spirit Shackle Gaiman, and had, of course, Espo's kind of known for their Hoopa play as well. So it could be a couple of comfort picks to round it out. I believe Zeese did win game number one in this matchup. So let's go ahead and take a look at game number two. Let's find these finals there. There we are. Okay, so game number two, GT lost, so they had the option. I believe they chose to take first pick, and they banned Dodrio. So in this ban phase, GT banned away Dodrio and then got Blissey, Scizor, Decidueye, Mew, and Hoopa, whereas Zeese banned Sableye, and then went on to select Eldegoss, Mr. Mime, Azumarill, Glaceon, Serena. So, three remaining, and then Mr. Mime pick, of course. Any hard predicts on who won this second game? Or Ender specifically. I know you didn't get to watch the event. Just looking at this draft, who do you think won?
And do we know if, I guess, they might have still just gone Scissor again? I mean...
They did go Scyther in game number
they
two.
They did go Scyther? They went I'm going to give it to GT then.
They did. They did win in game number two. I have to ask, though, other than the fact that there's more time than just 10 minutes left in this YouTube video, what was the like guiding hint that you thought that GT was going to come
away
with this?
Blissey is kind of unmatched in what it can offer a team right now. So unless you have like some like, you know, extraordinary way that you're flipping and you're just securing objectives, or you're splitting up the map and you're just avoiding fights altogether, I'm just going to lean towards the Blissey team. Not to say it's like just unwinnable if you don't have Blissey and the other team does, but I mean, if you're going to fight into a comp that has Blissey and you're just going to play a normal game of Unite, I think a lot of times you're going to feel on the back foot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Lazenna,
especially in combination with that Scyther, because it does cover up the Scyther's major weakness of being burstable, right? Like, that is the only really thing you can do to stop the Scyther. Because you're not winning the fight straight up. So, like, it lets the Scyther kind of play without being super scared of this arena, even. It gives them another form of secure. It gives them basically everything they could ever want. And it makes it very, very, very hard for Zeus to do anything. Also, the fact that they have the Mew means it's even harder to dive. Koopa's not that bad to dive, but like specifically, like you're kind of in this awkward. You get put in this awkward spot where if you take too much poke damage from the Mew and the Decidueye, the Scyther just 1v5s you like instantly. it's a very hard comp to play into, and in order for Zeus to win, they'd have to execute like near perfectly.
Yeah, I'm also was really interested because GT had first selection, so they banned Ojo, but then they selected the Blissey, but then Zeus went on to pick Eldegoss Mr. Mime, which is a pretty big shock to me that was their follow-up to the Blissey and not trying to grab the Scyther for themselves. I mean, the Glaceon was playing pretty amazing the entire match so far, so I mean, I suppose that could be the damage carry they were pushing for, but still, I don't know. That was just a pretty big shock to me that they weren't favoring the Scyther almost at all on their squad, even though it's such a powerful pick that's dominated the meta recently. So that was a pretty big surprise to me.
I think this one thing I mentioned last week, and it's like something I constantly am like reminding myself of too in draft, is that it's like really appealing to want to pick supports early on because they're harder to counter and they're like generally safe, but if there's like a carry in the meta that's just, you know, tiers above other ones, you have to be comfortable with like high picking it and, you know, playing around its weaknesses either in your draft or in your play. So I mean, they won two supports, but you know, like Mime and Eld and Mime are good Pokemon, but I don't know if they feel like standout Pokemon that wouldn't just be there later in the draft if they needed it.
Yeah that's kind of was my same opinion. Well, let's jump on to the final game here. This was probably the most different looking draft, mostly because I saw GT picking up the Azumarills, stealing it away from Zeus. But in this situation, we have GT banning the Sableye, Zeus banning the Blissey, GT getting Scizor, Azumarill, Delphox, Hoopa, and Mr. Mime. Zeus getting the Mamoswine, Slowbro, Glaceon, Lucario, Dodrio. Double tank. How powerful do we think double tank is in the meta right now? Specifically, obviously, considering draft.
Indy, I'll just let you answer first for all of these, because I obviously watched.
Right, okay. I think
the theory tank, crafting. What do you think happened to this game, Ender?
I think it's good. And, I mean, Mamoswine is just, like, a ridiculous Pokemon. Like, just as a whole. And then I guess, you know, Slowbro covers it. If they want to go Scyther, if they want to go any kind of, you know,
this was a Surf feature. Bro as well. In this
Surf, Scald. I mean, it's the Unite move in the end that's going to obviously lock them down. And without a Blissey on the other team to pocket him, like, you know, Scyther obviously feels very, very scary for Scyther to engage. And then they also set up the draft for themselves to pick Dodrio whenever they want, because the odds of GT going Dodrio and Scissor/Scyther on the same comp are probably low, and seeing the fact that they got it last pick and, guys were saying that was a defining character in game one.
Yeah,
kind of surprised that it was that deep in the draft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting too. Yeah, GT last picking the Mr. Mime too. I mean, you're kind of your only option after Snorlax's permaband, Mamo, and Slowbro being first selected by Zeus. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting bet. Lazen, any thoughts on the draft phase here for the game number three of week one?
Even aside the fact that I know who won this game, if I saw these two drafts, I'd assume the top side won like 9 games out of 10.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really hard for bottom to play. If you're playing Scyther, you get bro ulted the moment you try to exist on the screen, and you're dead. Your Delphox can do basically nothing to the Dodrio sprinting at it. They have the option, they have the flexibility to flip with, help Lucario or to just straight up team fight. I believe this actually was an e-speed Lucario, so they opted for more team fight.
Yeah. They were popping off too. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. He actually did this very cool thing in this game. For all the viewers who didn't watch this, I'd highly recommend you go back and watch this. GT was playing with the assumption, at least I think that's what happened, or that they thought it was going to be a Popluka. Mm-hmm. He actually didn't skill his other ability until right after B spawned. GT all clumped on the B's at top and got e-speed Lucario to death. It was... sick.
That actually, that's really cool. I like that tech. Good shout out, Lazarin.
But yeah, it was a very, very cool tech on his part. But yeah, like I do not see a world where the bottom comp does not win if they are not massively ahead. This Mr. Mime does not a whole lot. The Hoopa is obviously very good for like macro plays, but it doesn't really stop a Dodrio.
Yeah.
They just kind of don't have any way to keep their Delphox safe.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. Delphox, a Pokemon that definitely needs to be protected. Well, sweet. So that was Unite Mike's Mayhem week number one. I think we could watch some clips from it, but just checking out the draft, I think, is the most interesting thing to me. If anything, what I think it really shone is that, yes, there are a few meta-defining Pokemon. Scyther, Blissey, Snorlax obviously not allowed in this event specifically, but after that, it really seemed that comfort picks were the defining factor for both of these teams. One team did get the victory, obviously. Both of you gave the draft victory to them as well, but still, just having the comfort picks of the Glaceon, the Dodrio, really seemed like the biggest asset that they had towards them, in my opinion. But all right, and yeah, of course, Black saying that Sableye, their opinion of the most broken Pokemon, despite having pretty middling tournament results, if it's not draft mode, I think Sableye has had a rough time so far in the last few weeks. But yeah, that will give us a wrap on Mayhem week number one. Let's talk about another tournament that happened. This was the Underdunk tournament. I believe they are planning on making this a weekly. I can't confirm that though. Yep. Do you know that?
I can confirm that. Yeah. Martin's a friend of mine. He's one of the regulars in my Discord, and yeah, he used to be a TO in the Smash scene, and he's doing this weekly.
That is fantastic. I got a lot of love for the Smash scene and a lot of love for any friends of Lazarus. So shout out. Ender, were you playing in this tournament or no?
No. And it's something I wanted to ask, I guess, when a little bit later, but I'll ask now anyways, is maybe the listeners could benefit from this, is how do you know there's tournaments going on? Like, where do you guys, I just wait. If someone invites me to play, I'm playing. Otherwise, I'm just like, oh, I guess I'm not playing in a tournament this week.
Yeah.
So this specific one was almost entirely word of mouth because it didn't get in the original, like, normally, like, there's an AOS Frontier, like, tournament send out that includes both the tourneys for the week.
Yeah, that's right. Usually what I rely on too. Yeah.
Same. Yeah, okay. Like this specific one was not, this one was specifically word of mouth because the tourney posting for AOS is on Thursdays and this was on a Thursday. Mm. So
okay.
But all the future ones will be for sure. I believe it's in the posting for this week. I don't know if he posted the link already, but I think it's supposed to be.
Sweet. And it's on Thursdays, right? That's what, yes, you just said? Sweet. Okay. I'm super excited. We have a new weekly. That's fantastic. It's an evening weekly, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, huge shout out. That's fantastic. About the tournament questions, do they happen? Do they not? AOS Frontier Bot is usually where most players learn about these tournaments. If anyone from AOS Frontier is listening, please make a tournament bot Twitter account. please just have it auto update there. I will retweet every single time. Please make that
me hiding my admin role in AO's Frontier.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Lastman, I am counting on you to do this. I can't believe you have not done it yet. But anyway, it was a pretty sweet team. Good turnout, 20 teams for an evening-based North America tournament, which is pretty hype. Had some cool teams pump out. Skull and Spinal, both solid squads that I've seen playing. Funky Town is like Freak's new team. Freak, that boy Mux playing on this squad as well.
That was Radiance, a pickup squad.
Of course. What's up?
That was a pickup squad. That's not a larger thing.
Okay, gotcha. Well, whatever. Yep. New makeup squad. God Squad, again, playing in this one, doing very, very well, placing top three, getting third place. And then Exodia in this game, as in this team as well. Believe Exodia is Bora Reach's new squad with, like, Hash, right?
Yeah, yeah. That one's supposed to be longer term. It's him, Hash, and then Pigeon Borb, Hamanji, and... Oh, I like Pi, right?
I like Pi, Pigeon Borb, Hash, Hamanji, Border Reach. Cool. Yeah. So another names that I can definitely recognize made it to the top four. Funky Town beat God Squad in the Losers Final, where Radiance defeated Funky Town 2-1. Yet another Radiance victory. This team seriously has been clobbering every single tournament. Not every single, but the vast majority of tournaments they have entered into in the offseason. They're obviously an exciting team to watch. We talked about it last week already. This week they did very, very solid. I know they are missing their main tank player of Derperior. Were they in this tournament, or did they play with Derp?
She did play in this one, okay, cool. But Stockings was not there, so they played with Yikes Attacker.
Okay, so Yikes filled in. Sweet. Yikes, okay. Really, yeah. Becoming one of the best mercenaries in North America. Like, seriously. Like, they just seem to fit into a lot of squads. They're kind of like the...
Yeah. And to clarify one quick thing about this format, it is the... Each team gets one ban per game, but they carry over game to game format.
Okay, so like the Reddit Core Battle Hub tournaments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those were pretty popular, so you decided to go with that. It was originally planned to be the draft, like in-game draft thing, but then he had he saw what happened on Friday last week, and he was like, "Nah, I'm good."
Yeah, let's just avoid that headache every last bit. But okay, fantastic. Well, before we talk about Radiance of Funky Town, let's talk about that format really quick. Ender, how do you feel about the, I guess, stacking? I call it stacking bans. I don't know if it has a actual term, but basically each team bans one Pokemon in game number one, and then in game number two you're going to add a second ban each, and then that will be a total of four banned Pokemon. What are your thoughts on that format, either of you, really?
I think the format's fun. Yeah. I've only played, I think, one, maybe two tournaments where we've had like stacking bans like that, so I'm not sure how I feel about it as a player. Like, the pool definitely gets pretty deep in the third game. It seems fun, but I don't know if I would prefer it as like the default format that how the game should be played, but it seems fun.
Okay.
I think as a format, it is a good practice format.
Okay, interesting.
Because it is not the way the game will probably be played. I mean, like, we're all speculating UCS next year is probably draft, like just straight up draft. It does, in a less pressured version than draft, let you show a deeper champion pool.
Right.
And in that way, it does, like, it is fun for a lot of the players, and it also is good for practice, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice medium.
I would agree. I think it comes to an interesting school of thought, which we have in tournaments a lot, is where... you have to make the question of, is this the most competitive thing we have available, or is it what the vast majority of viewers, aka the, like, not super competitively minded viewers, right? You have to decide what you want this tournament to be for, and if it's that, you probably tend towards something like this, or maybe even farther down the spectrum, like Spraggle's format, where every Pokemon is banned that has been played so far, which is just entirely focused on Pokemon diversity. Like, how many selections can we fit in one game so people can see their favorite Pokemon on screen? It's cool. I think it's fun as a viewer. I myself always tend toward the more competitive. Like, how can I fit an ounce of strategy into every part of the game? Like, that's what I enjoy watching. I was even, like, an early disbeliever of draft in general because I was like, no, I want to see, like, the best compositions be refined by the best teams. And, well, I was a nerd. And so now we're here. And so I do think draft is my favorite way to play, but I'm seeing some things in chat specifically from Derp saying that it does make the tournaments go fast, which is a huge benefit as a player. I know the biggest complaint that any TO has had to deal with is players just complaining that they have to wait a really long time for their games, which sucks, but it's a pretty common complaint that players have. So a format like this keeps things moving. No external draft mechanisms have to be used, no TO involvement if it's done in a different way, so that is pretty nice. But so yeah, I think the format is definitely fun. I'm excited that the main format for competitive is going to be draft, but I think these weeklies, sometimes you need a hook, right, to get teams to actually play in your weekly, especially. I don't know if this one's offering any prize pool. Is it?
It is not.
Yeah, so any some of these events that are not entering a prize pool, it takes something to get players to actually sign up. You know, sometimes they would just rather play ladder and queue, and it's tough to get teams to commit to something like this. Sometimes you need a fun hook, and playing a fun way to play the game can be one of those things. So I think that's pretty cool. Any more thoughts on... Well, I guess we could talk about the finals, Lazen. Yeah. Were you watching Radiance versus Funky Town? Either winners or
grand
finals? Yes,
I watched most of this tourney. I did this wasn't the one I played in, I think. No, I didn't play in this one. Okay. I was partially watching the Game Awards the whole time, though, I'm not gonna lie.
Sure. All right.
But so I can't remember the details all that well, but I do remember the series being pretty good.
Okay, sweet. Well, obviously both of these teams are pretty great. Freak was saying in chat earlier, spin a wheel to see who they play with for next tournament. Changes every single time. They're gunning for Yikes'
I can probably spot, I guess. Find I probably should have pulled this up before the show, but I can probably find the APIs of these games because I don't think...
Oh yeah, sure. See how the bands worked out and things like that. Yeah, that would be interesting. But cool. Well, I think the biggest takeaway we have out of this tournament recap here is that there's a new weekly on Thursday nights. Go check it out. True. Sign up for Underdunk. If you were listening, you have a team of five. Go sign up. Really fun format of like the Reticore stacking bands format. Check it out. Would be a lot of fun to have more people playing in this tournament. I think that's dope.
Shout out Martin.
Yeah, shout out Martin. Seriously, another TO entering the scene. My first time hearing of them was this tournament, but I mean, other people know them, other people trust them, so that's fantastic. Yeah, so awesome. Shout outs. I'm excited to see more teams participating, more competition. It's always fun. It's always fun. Ender, make sure you know about this tournament. It's on Thursdays. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Great.
I'm writing it down.
Lazanin hopefully makes that Twitter bot eventually, and everything will be fixed. Okay, awesome. Last tournament that I did want to mention quickly, which I'm pretty confident none of us were able to watch any of, was the French Invitational tournament that happened, which a lot of just competitive EU teams played. That one was won by Tally Bolo Believers. That is basically one half of Apprentice Unleashed plus Toon and Yutao and Saryu. So that's like Zante and Klaus were from there. But yeah, Toon, Yutao, Zante, Klaus, and Saryu win that one. Pretty solid roster, obviously.
Holy
just
hell.
Looking at it. Yeah, like...
yeah. As far as like pickup teams go, you can't really get much better. Holy...
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, Saryu just unbelievably cracked top. Yutao, by the way, I don't think we talked about them very much in last episode, but they are crazy good. I believe they weren't age eligible for UCS, like... Worlds of season one. I could be wrong about that, but I think they weren't quite ready, so that they but this season two, they're like ready to dominate.
Turned 18 fairly recently now.
Yeah, exactly. They did win. Yutao did win season one best jungler. I'm not sure how these awards are given or how they're chosen, but they did win it. They did tweet about it, so shout out to them. Obviously just proving yet again that they're like a sick player ready to go, so I'm very excited to watch more of them in EU next year. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's let's jump into some news so we can actually talk about the title that we have. It is Pokemon Unite Asia Champions League 2023, the first invitation-only league match for Pokemon Unite, where Asian rivals clash will be held. From January 6, 2023, all games will be distributed every Friday from 1900. Don't know the time zone, but probably Japan's. So yeah, it will be utilizing draft mode as the graphic showcases. Asia gets a Champions League, an invitation only. Majorly, they get a competitive sanctioned event in before the Season 2 competitive season truly starts. Anybody, initial reactions, initial thoughts? First off, thank you so much, Zentasane, for the raid.
I'm still really not sure how I feel. Like, I'm very excited that we're getting just tournaments as a whole for the entire Unite scene. But with this lining up at around the time when I was expecting UCS to get started, plus it only being for Asia, is like, you know, we talked about it last week as well, you know, begging for some stuff in NA or in the West. Right. And we're just, I guess we're just waiting to see what's going to happen for us. But it's cool. I mean, draft format, every week league, like, this is really good for, I think, esports to give, like, viewers a home. Like, you know, it's almost like, you know, sports like Monday Night Football, or you're watching, you know, the game on Saturdays. Yeah. Now it's like we have, you know, Unite on Fridays that, you know, everyone can tune into, which will be cool.
Just waiting for Unite Red Zone, where I can pay a premium, have no Twitch ads, and just have four feeds all the time. I'm definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, okay, so mixed feelings from the Ender camp. How about Lazarin? How are things going over there? What are your opinions on Asia Champions League?
In my opinion, it's only a positive, right? Like, that's just the easy way of putting it. Like, it's something for us to enjoy. It's something for us to watch. Awesome. Obviously, you know, as an NA coach myself, I would want stuff in NA. However, I understand, like, our viewership does not is not conducive to spending a large amount of money on a league, right? It's just not. Especially because I'd imagine a lot of these sort of decisions would have to be locked in like 6 months ago, right? Like, I'd imagine that's usually like companies like TPCI are very big. They take a long time to make this sort of decision. I'd imagine next year, things will be a little bit different, but I can very easily see why we didn't get anything this offseason. Like, as much as, like, I'm upset about it because I just want more competition, I totally get it. Like, it's... Wow.
Okay, I'm just shocked. I did not expect to be the most negative on this podcast about this take. I don't think this is usually me. I am bummed. So, quick rundown of my thoughts. First off, I tweeted about this. The logo, absolutely fire. Unbelievably good. The, like, stylized, chromed out U for Unite being in there with the Champions League, it looks unbelievably good. So branding already fantastic. I'm bummed that we don't have any event happening for any region in the West. None of the South America regions are going to be getting anything. Nothing for NA, nothing for EU, anything officially sanctioned. I understand why that is the case, but this is, like, a lot of what I think a lot of people just wanted is more events that are cross-region outside of just Worlds, right? So this is the Asia Champions League, similar to something like a League of Legends MSI, things like that. I guess I'm not bummed that it's happening. I just really am green with envy, and I hope that we get something mid-season. I've been desiring the EOS Cup, like the mid-season tournament, the one that's got the cash payout, is cross-region. Eventually, like, I would love if, like, they basically did Asia Champions League for EOS Cup, and then they had, like, EU versus all of the different South America regions versus NA for EOS Cup. I think that would be unbelievably hype and really exciting, so we'll be a big fan about that. So, the actual tournament itself, I'm excited to see the actual draft format be done. Broadcast is going to be sick. There is going to be an English broadcast if you want to watch that. JJ Kun is going to be casting everything in English. They're holding that down. They're holding the fort down on the official broadcast, so make sure to tune into those. I am sure, like, I am 99% positive that Ender, you will be doing some kind of coverage for it as well.
Yeah, I'll probably just watch it on stream. And I love watching this kind of stuff. But I'm with you. Like, I'm really bummed out, and I'm not the type of person that will ever be pessimistic about things, but the way the Heroes of the Storm circuit ended was it was just a tweet that happened when everyone is expecting it to be renewed. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to say that this is signs of that, but it's also like, shouldn't UCS be going on during this league? At least like, or isn't there going to be some overlap? And like, where's our announcement? So I don't know. I'm just sad about it, but I'm also, you know, if this is what the future is and maybe next year we could get something like this, I'll wait for it. I mean, I'm excited.
Sure. I think the other one, maybe even a closer to home, is Wild Rift, right?
Yeah.
Wild Rift, their esports community, took a huge hit recently where basically they pulled out of every Western market in terms of their esports and just went to where the larger markets are in the East, and that's where Wild Rift is holding competitive esports. I do not think that will happen to Pokemon Unite for a variety of reasons, the biggest of which being that Pokemon is just committed to having it at the World Championships in year number one. I think they're going to continue to do that, so I would be shocked if they ever did a full pullout, at least within the next year or so. But I don't know. I don't think that's a possibility at all. But it is, I don't know. It's a concerning thing for the times.
It would feel very strange if you had the Yokohama World Championship and you disqualified your, like, World Champion from last year because they were in NA. Like, yes. I just don't see NA UCS getting canceled.
Yeah, I don't see it getting canceled either. But I feel like our market can deserve something like this. I'm not sold on the idea that, you know, our viewership just isn't good enough, that it wouldn't be worth the investment. Like, I don't know. I would want, I mean, I don't have any numbers. So I would want to challenge that.
For the record, I think the viewership is more worth it now. I don't think it looked like that, like, probably when these decisions were made, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, I think a lot of these decisions were probably made like 6-8 months ago or something like that, right? These things take a lot of time to set up.
That is very true.
I do want to point another very, very important thing that a lot of people have missed about this league.
Okay.
Keep in mind, it is an official, like, Unite approved rule set. Emblems are fully allowed.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm genuinely curious about how that is going to go. I've already seen enough streams of you molding in Twitch Lazadin about their builds in general, in other regions in competitive tournaments. So I can only imagine your opinions on emblem builds that other regions are going to utilize, but I am excited to see that happen. Are you not excited at all? Are you pretty terrified about the prospect of emblems being allowed?
I mean, like, I'm cool with it. Like, first of all, job security, lol. Second of all, I do think it gives you more angles. It enables some interesting picks, especially like black emblems do change the way you can build some Pokemon. The prime example being Glaceon, whose builds can very drastically change with emblems. It makes Dura stronger is another one. Like, Dura is a lot stronger with emblems than he is without them. But I do obviously have my competitive integrity concerns because I don't know what we're going to do about the whole not everybody has 603 emblems right now, you know? Like, that is the number you're supposed to, like, sorry, not even 603 because the gold ones are, like, 9 of the bronze ones, right? So it's more like, what?
Yep.
9 times, oh god. That's a very big number. But yes, like, that's a concern for me, but, like, I'm sure they have some way to figure it out, or they wouldn't have set up a league this way.
Yeah, that is true. One other issue that was brought up by a player from one of these regions was Ice from No Lucario, I believe, talked about how I think it's crazy that the Pokemon Unite Asia Champions League 2023, how some countries have competitions to pick their representatives and others have direct invites. If it's based on world standings, then all the other countries from SEA that's not Singapore don't even deserve a slot. This was an interesting topic brought up because there are a few countries that, because of their UCS ranking, I shouldn't even say countries, just teams. I believe both Japanese teams, like T2 and Secret Ship, are just auto invite, whereas other regions did have to compete to qualify. I believe Rise just qualified from a recent region. It is a little interesting. It is an invitational league, so I understand. why that is existing, but it is weird that there is sort of a twofold approach where some regions need to qualify, other regions get invites.
Why would they have the most competitive of those regions be the one that auto quals? Like, it was a very big talking point leading up to Worlds that some people thought that T2 and Secret Ship were the third and fourth best teams in that region, like, consistently.
Yeah, I'm shocked that people thought that about T2, but I thought they were
T2, sure. Like, T2, sure. Like, T2, like, you could very easily say one or two.
But Secret Ship has had a barn burner of a qualifier run for yeah. Worlds. Like, they popped off. They had popped off, had some big swings, whatever you want to call it.
and like, I mean, their Worlds showing kind of showed that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's very confusing to me. I would figure that that'd be really good watch content, first of all, but second of all, like, just for competitive integrity, it seems better. I'd be very curious to, like, if we ever hear what happened behind the screen here, I'd be very curious, but it is bizarre.
Yeah, I doubt we'll ever have an actual answer, but yeah. Ender, any thoughts on this this problem that Ice was voicing on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I feel like it doesn't really make a lot of sense to split it up between regions on how they're making the invitational process. Like, you know, we can agree on what might be the best, but I think ultimately the best would be to be consistent amongst the regions, at least.
Right. Yeah.
That just seems like it opens the door to people feeling bad if there's, like, levels of, you know, discrimination or just, you know, why are they being arbitrary with it? So I would just, you know, pick whatever they want to pick, make it consistent. But I think a play-in would make the most sense. Teams have changed. There's been a lot of time since Worlds. Like, you want to have the most competitive league, you should probably make them play for it. But yeah, I don't know. Consistency, I think, is a thing they would need to hit first, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Japan has that, like, Giga Super team that formed in the offseason that I don't even think, like, from what I understand, is not invited, no?
Ooh, interesting. Are they not? That's pretty wild. Well, okay, I also thought
Mame's team, right? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
The one with Mame, PYI, and
Sui and the some of the players from the Renbaro Pirates.
Yeah,
I mean, that team's stacked.
The team's insane. Like,
that's sick. Yeah. I can't wait to watch that team. That's gonna be a lot of fun. Well, okay, interesting. So Champions League, there's some questions, but any invitational league are definitely gonna have some of those surrounding it, I think. One more piece of news that we can talk about. I think we'll just talk about really quickly. Esports Awards are actually happening tonight. Pokemon Unite was one of the nominations for Mobile Esport of the Year, alongside Brawl Stars, Call of Duty Mobile, League of Legends Wild Rift, Arena of Valor, Mobile Legends Bang Bang, PUBG Mobile, and Free Fire. Does anybody have money down on Pokemon Unite taking this thing?
I don't know. I mean, I'm the most biased person in the world, so I believe that it's deserving of the award. Yeah. And I, like, genuinely believe it is, but do I think it'll actually win? Probably not.
I mean, one thing that we do need to mention, I know it's, like, a lot of people are doomers on Twitter when these announcements and things like that happened. I think we had a pretty insanely positive first year. Like, I think that is one of the best, like, you know, things going for Pokemon Unite. It was, like, pretty great prize pool for year one, a world championship that did have invited teams. It sucked that visas weren't available for everything, but it was, I don't know. I think it was a pretty fantastic first year. Mobile Legends Bang Bang has been having a pretty fantastic year as well, I think, with, like, scale of events. But I don't know. I think Unite had a pretty great competitive scene. I think that was also, like, the shining star of Unite. But Lassen, any thoughts on esports awards and mobile game?
We had our ups, we had our downs. I think that I don't agree with Indy. I don't think we deserved it this year. I think that there were a lot of things that needed improved on pretty drastically.
Okay.
I have faith in them. I have faith that they will listen for next year, but I do think it did improvement.
Okay.
There's a couple of the ones on that list that I'm a little iffy on. Like, that Wild Rift one sure does feel like a kick in the face for some people.
Hey, the Asian market is going great for them right now, all right? They are doubling down, so...
I would put money on it being Free Fire because of how popular that is in mostly non-English-speaking regions.
Yeah. I've heard the game's sick, too. Like, for people who played it, I've actually heard it's so fun that I've thought about getting some Free Fire games in. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, solid. Like, that's where I put my money. I don't know anything about their scene, though.
All right. Well, let us know in the YouTube comments who you think's going to win. I know the awards are happening tonight. Probably don't do that. Just cheat then. But that being said, you mentioned improvements that you wanted to see headed into year number two. So let's move on to our discussion topic of the evening here for a little bit near the tail end of the show. But that's all right. What is on the top of our wish list for season two of competitive Pokemon Unite? Chat, if you want to chip into this discussion, please feel free. But Lazen and Ender, is there any glaring thing that you're, this is absolutely on my wish list for season two?
Want to get started, Lazen?
You said, do you want to get started?
Yeah, you go for it.
Oh, okay. My number one thing is communication. Just please communicate more clearly.
By who?
TV, they're like Esports Engine and TCCI, both of them.
Okay, got it.
Please do not make me like, I know this is a pipe dream, but please don't make me stay up until 3 a.m. like every other Tuesday. Like, I don't appreciate doing that. Like, it'd be awesome if we got a little bit more detail on the patch notes at the very least. But besides
but
that, like,
but
for the actual,
really
like, esports
TPCI
side,
and that's not like an esports thing, right?
It is a TPCI issue.
Okay.
Because TV Studios, for their other games, does do it properly. So there's like the one through line there. Anyway, but like on the communication side, like, hey, like, let us know the format a little bit ahead of time. Let us know, you know, like, if, let's say you're trying to feature more, like, if you're trying to feature more players, like, let us know, like, qualifications to get people featured, you know? Have more active feedback channels, that kind of thing, right?
Okay.
I don't, like, this is a kind of controversial subject. I'm not going to speak on it too long, but there was a very notable banning of a player near the end of last year with almost zero communication.
Right.
Whether or not he deserved it or not, I'm not here to debate that. I don't think any of us want to. But it should have been communicated a lot more clearly. That whole decision in general. Sure. Like, that is just my biggest thing. Just please communicate. And obviously... And then the other big one's obviously just draft, but I think that's probably a given at this point.
Yeah, it could be pretty low on your wish list for that thing. Yeah. Ender, anything on the wish list for season two of competitive Pokemon Unite?
I think we're anticipating some changes to the format on how teams are invited to the World Championships.
Okay.
I hope those pull through.
Any like pipe dream formats that you have in mind? Like, do you have like a format in your head? You're like, if this was it, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I have like very specific things. Like, I think NA and EU should get another slot.
Interesting.
NA at least, like the team that wins the World Championships. I just feel like that region, that team should probably be auto invited or handled in like a special way, and then give another spot to replace it. Mm-hmm. I think NA could have used biased, right? But three slots last year, and then also the teams. I feel like if you're gonna run a circuit with points, the team that has the most points should be at the event. Otherwise, have a different format altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just feels very unsatisfying. So I think format-wise, I definitely would want to see some improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit just around their engagement. Like, I agree with Lazen in terms of communication. We need it. But a step further than that is them almost engaging more with the community. Like, the world of esports that I'm familiar in Heroes of the Storm is... the official tournaments would end, and then they would host, if the person that won the tournament, if someone on their team was live, they would host them on Twitch, or they would host some other competitive player. They would feature them more in some of their content, and they did more of a job to like build up their community rather than just give their community a game and be like, let's see what's the best you can do with it.
Right.
So I'd like to see them be more engaging. I've seen the Unite Esports account on Twitter, you know, post builds from players and whatnot. I think that's a good start, but I think there's a lot more than they can do, and some of it is going to start with communication.
And they did do a little bit of that last year, like, to be fair to them. However, they like, and that was your teammate too, it was Goof, but the kind of the problem there was they kind of put all their eggs in one basket, and Goof isn't playing the season, so now you have to redo all the narrative, and like, that's just never a good thing to do.
Narrative building's hard in a new esport. Like, yeah. It's so hard. Like, I have followed esports for so long now. Like, so many different ones. And narrative building in a new esport is so difficult because longevity is just, like, of players specifically, is so up in the air, which can be difficult. It's also just learning what the community wants is so hard. Not in terms of, like, communication and everything. I think that's pretty clear. But learning, like, what the community wants in terms of narrative. Like, are we in a scene that loves trash talk? Or not. Like, do players not really enjoy that? Like, are we more of, like, you know, a positive forward-facing scene? Like, things like that. It's sort of what the general fan base and community is sort of has to get felt out, too. So I'm excited that they've learned a lot about what this community is and like, who makes it up so far. And we'll have a better read on that in Season 2. I think the Twitter account's been doing a little bit better in that regard as of recent times. So that's awesome. Just please give us an official announcement of Season 2. And I think I'll put a big old check mark on everything the Twitter's been doing recently. So I am excited about that. One thing in terms of, like, communication, especially on player discipline, we mentioned it very quickly. Deucex and I have been so clear on this from the get-go. It's just our piece of advice. We've worked with Pokemon and around Pokemon for many years now. There is no entity in the world more than Pokemon that will protect their brand over anything. If you are playing in this game and you want to make content in this scene and you want to, like, you know, be a part of the Pokemon content scene and everything like that, that's going to be a pill we got to swallow. Like, that, you got to play by their rules if you're playing in Pokemon. And we can always ask for more communication. We can definitely push for that. That is a very fair thing to ask for. That is a extremely correct thing to do, is what I'm saying. But just know that, like, the leeway is so extremely small, and that will never change. So just as a heads up from Zoinks and Dupesnax to everybody. So everybody listening, watching, and then of course participating in the community. But wishlist for Season 2 for me, of course, is just going to be this one thing. I'm suggesting this, and I think a lot of people who are big fans of watching Unite, I would love if they split up the EU and North America broadcasts into two so that we got more games covered from both of the regions. I think that would be really, really cool. And that's saying somebody who, because of that, got to work longer and got to cover more on broadcast. I would absolutely take that hit and cover less and do less games and be less, you know, less on screen if there was two broadcasts that we got to showcase more from the teams and everything. I think that would be awesome. Would be a huge fan if that happened. Draft is going to happen. And then I just want another, I would love more in-person events other than Worlds. If AOS Cup was an inter-regional event and they gave the teams travel stipends and they got to come and actually play in person, would be so cool. I would be ecstatic. It would be so fun to watch. Obviously, I would desperately love to work it, but even then, I would just love to watch from home. I think it'd be a really cool broadcast. It would just give more people a chance to play on stage and really feel like they're, you know, actually get that gratification that they're at the top of Pokemon Unite. You know, I feel like even if you're, like, winning tournaments and UCS and everything, it can feel tough in just online focused series to actually feel like, you know, like, I'm the best, you know? It can be tough to feel that gratification. I think we should award players who achieve that. And in-person events is my number one thing on my wish list. Anything else come to mind, the two of you, while I was talking?
I'll piggyback off of one of your points you made, which was the broadcast thing. Mm-hmm. Please, 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 please. I know it's not possible to cover every game, but, like, have a YouTube somewhere where the things that did not get broadcasted get released.
Yes.
I do not want to lose tournament history. We have already lost so much history. It's just not games not being covered and games not existing anymore.
Right.
It's so rough. And it also gives an unfair advantage to the teams that were not broadcasted, because teams that were heavily broadcasted because they were well known were just easier to study. That's not a fair advantage.
It has to be at a bigger scale. I don't think we'll ever get, like, all 16 teams get every game covered in a regionals. Like, I don't
no,
think
yeah, for ever sure. Like, I don't think that'll ever happen.
Right.
But, like, just at least have someone record the game that's not being broadcasted and just post it.
That would be really cool.
Have all of history recorded. That's all I want.
That would be really, really cool. Paladin Knight in chat was saying add a replay system. I think that's going to be our best bet. So I think this is a lofty wish list in general. But yeah, I think it'd be great. I think Worlds specifically is the one that I think we all want every game captured. Like, it was a huge bummer that not every game was on stream. So, or A, like, just hire more casters, do an A and a B stream. It'd be sick. It'd be so cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would be cool. Trust me, we're not that expensive. And Ender, anything else you wanted to say?
I agree. Like, we need these games saved, even if it just means that they stream them with no cast and they're just on, like, they're live, just put up somewhere. Mm-hmm. It just feels weird that, you know, there's teams that were at Worlds and they just got like maybe one game covered and the rest of their games are just nowhere to be found. And that sucks. Like, it shouldn't be like that. I hope maybe they saved them somewhere. I don't know if they really did, but yeah.
Yeah.
We need that.
I agree. That would be awesome. Obviously, I am one of the biggest proponents for competitive Unite history. That is what I have always called the Unite Mike's YouTube channel. I always said it is a great history book of competitive Pokemon Unite, going all the way back to beta. So, big, big fan of all of that. But we are at time, so that is going to conclude our episode for today. We do have a couple of things I do want to plug and note. First off, tomorrow evening, Unite Mike's Mayhem week number 2 is going to kick off. We have a draft format again. The teams participating this week are going to be Clash, obviously a Worlds qualified squad, versus Wasted Potential on game number 1. Dota Gamers versus Crustle Hustle for game number 2. Dota Gamers being a squad made up of Big Uzi, Oblivion, and a few more players. So pretty solid teams. Going to be a fun night. So make sure to tune in tomorrow on the Unite Mike's Twitch channel at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. One thing I wanted to note. So that is going to be happening. Then next week, Tuesday, the normal night that we have the podcast, we are going to be instead doing a makeup night for the week number 1 that was originally scheduled that we missed. So we're going to be having teams playing on that. We're going to be having teams play that on the 20th of December. They're going to play that evening. And then our finals is going to be held on the 21st of December, the very next day. So that is how the scheduling is going to work out if everything goes correctly. We will see how the chips fall for that tournament. Hopefully all the teams can make it and participate. I do have confirmations that most teams are available to do that. Still waiting back on a couple of teams. But that is how the layout is going to go. The last thing that I want to mention about Mayhem is we, of course, are just doing the $100 prize pool for each of these 3 qualifying weeks. But for week number 4 for the finals, we want to make it a bit more exciting, make it a bit more worth it for just kind of a winner's night. So we are going to turn to the community. We have started a GoFundMe. If you want to donate any cash to just boost the prize pool a little bit, of course, that floor of $100 will still be there, but any donations are going to go directly towards the final prize pool of Unite Mike's Mayhem Season 2. So it's !! prize pool in the chat. If you want to go donate any cash there, you don't have to at all. If you want to, I know the teams will definitely appreciate it. We'll be talking a lot more about this in Mayhem tomorrow. So make sure to check that out. Lazanin, I know you had something that you wanted to promo and talk about as well.
So obviously, the thing I say every week is my team projects are coming soon. I swear they're actually coming soon. We don't just keep delaying them every week, guys.
Sure.
But no, I'll be moderating a AMA with the Rising Stars of the Offseason Team Radiance this Saturday at 3 p.m. EST. That'll be in the r/Unite Discord. You can find the link at the Unite Battle Hub Twitter account. And yeah, that'll be pretty sick.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Look out for the tweet from Lazadin to be plugging that one. Unite Mike's Twitter will also have something up about it because that's a really cool event. I mean, AMAs are exactly how Overdunk really got started, you know, interviewing a lot of teams. So if you want your chance to ask questions to one of the, seriously, you said Rising Stars of the offseason. That's the place to do it. So just a reminder, Redicore Discord, AMA with Team Radiance, the 17th of December, 3 p.m. Eastern. So go be there, check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Quick round of social plugs for everybody, and then we'll head out of here. So Lazadin, where can people find you on the internet?
I am Lazadin11 on Twitch, Lazadin1 on Twitter. You can find all my relevant links through one of those two places. Discord, I do coaching, 30-minute free trials. Very poggers. And then we'll have our team socials at Ascended Unite everywhere coming up pretty soon.
Sick. Love to see that. Go check it out. Ender, where can people find you?
Twitch.tv/Ender. Stream almost every single day. And Ender Unite on Twitter. And mostly just Ender or Ender Unite on any platform. And I'll also be doing, there's the Pokemon Unite Winter Championships in Asia. Sick. Happening this weekend. So I'll be covering that live as well. I think Toon will be joining me. We'll both be streaming it. So,
oh, that's awesome.
It'll be fun to check in and see that meta.
Sick. Well, go check out some of the best players in the world checking it out. Yeah, what's up?
I haven't decided if I was going to stream that or if I was just going to hop on someone else's stream yet. So, but we'll see.
Cool. If you want to join us for some of the games, anyone, you, Zoinks, anyone wants to join, happy to have you guys watch with me as well.
First time invite. Let's go, chat. Let's go. Okay, you can find me at ZoinksCast on Twitter. And of course, everything Unite Mics is here on twitch.tv/UniteMics or youtube.com/UniteMics. If you're checking this out in podcast form on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon, wherever you're collecting it, make sure to leave a 5-star review. It helps more people find the show, more people find the competitive Pokemon Unite community. That's what we all truly want. But that being said, we will be back very shortly with the next episode of Overdunk. But I have been Zoinks. They have been the two best co-hosts in the world. We do miss you, Deuce. Next, you'll be included next time. Don't worry. And this has been Overdunk. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.